Okay. Are we on? Yes, we are on. So let's go into databases again. There was a question here before we started. Is it right that this is just one 45-minute lecture hour? Yes, it is. Today, I may not spend all of it because we are kind of starting up. And in 1 hour, if I've spent 10 minutes or 20 minutes or something that we're going to continue on Wednesday, I think you're going to be forgetting everything before Wednesday. So we're just going to continue what we did on Wednesday, trying to start up, set the stage for what you're doing. So next couple of weeks, we're going to be working on how to develop a web database application. Some of you have spent quite a lot of time already in the lab and solved quite a lot of the first assignment. The next 2 weeks is where we're going to be learning how to do it. But it's good. It's good to, as you, if you remember the learning cycle I was showing on Wednesday, where we have making an experience, reflecting on what you experienced. It's good to have the experience first, and then we talk about it in the lecture. And then we can discuss a little bit of your reflections. And maybe when I say something, comment on something, you have experienced something that's relevant, so it's easier to remember afterwards. By the way, how many have already started on assignment one? And how many of you had really big problems? Yeah, some the first ones are the still unsolved problems. I know there is one mail in my inbox saying one has a problem. Are anyone else having serious problems right now, or is it being resolved mostly? No serious problems? I hope not. If we go to Blackboard just for a little while. I had some question by the end of the lecture on Wednesday. If you would like to keep eye on and reading up what we are currently supposed to cover, where do we find it? First of all, we have tried to list here at the bottom of the page what actually is the reading material for the week. C and B, that will be the Connolly-Begg textbook. And there will be, eventually, if you go down, you will see that there will be other LinkedIn documents and LinkedIn material. And that material you find here, it's divided into three groups. One I called required readings. What I mean by that is that what's been covered here, I assume by the end of the course that you know these things. So, and you manage or you can program using whatever technologies are here. So you can see here Codeception and the use of the testing framework is something that I expect by the end of the course that you will be able to use and you can explain and you can show it. If I ask a question in the exam, you will be able to show it there. If somebody else is asking, if you're going to do a project, I expect you to know all this. But in our world, we have more resources and more information than what we strictly need to keep in our heads all the time. So I have some material that I classify as recommended. It's good for you to know about it. I mean, the best practices, some HTML, HTTP, gallery, SQL tutorials. You don't need to read them and work through them as this is something that you need to remember and be able to use all the time, but this may be helpful for you. And then the last category will be other resources that we use as programmers, and I hope during this course you're also going to develop the habit of keeping information reference manuals available. So when you program, you have manuals for whatever HTML or PHP or PDO or CSS, whatever you need there and then, that you keep it available. And this is now a collection of hopefully useful resources that you may find useful, but I'm not going to push it on you to actually go through and read it A to Z, but you may find it quite useful. And I will be going through some examples in the next couple of weeks and later on. And whenever I go through an example here in the lecture, if you're interested to go through the example yourself, I'm going to put up the source code here. This is Blackboard is a mix of last year's and this year's, which means that if you look into the future, if you look into what I, on Blackboard, what I'm going to say, going to talk about in 5 weeks from now, or some of the material here that's going to, the XML part that we're going to cover later on in the course, I may make changes to this. But the parts that we have been covering and the parts that we are going to be covering the, this week or next week is up to date. So just keep an eye on it. It's up to date as where we are. If you remember from Wednesday, one of the biggest problems in the file-based system is we may have data stored several places. Why is that a problem? You may have a problem if you delete, absolutely. And yeah, so if you change something, then it may get out of sync. So you get inconsistencies. So you don't know which one to trust. That's the big problem here. So I'm setting myself up for a problem here, because one side I have the reading per week, and here I have it all gathered up. So there's a risk that I say something here, and there's another reference somewhere else. So if you spot some mismatches, if you spot some inconsistencies, tell me, and I will keep them up to date and sync them up. Because this is not being used in the database, it's a file system. And some of you experienced this already in the first assignment. I had two places I referred to the repo. What happened? Well, one of them was up to date, the other one was not. So I really need to use a database for this. So I have one place to modify to try not to have this problem. Okay. And for the assignments, you've been found the assignments there. I think this the rest of this now should be known. Let's see. There we go. Okay. I just want to say a little bit about the this week already covered on Wednesday. Here, quality assurance. There are three groups. I have a volunteer from the engineering group to be part of the reference group. Anyone else who would like to, one from BitSec, one from programming, who would like to be part of the reference group? Meet with Dipti and myself three times. Absolutely. I mean, if you have been in a reference group before, absolutely. What's important to me is that you are eager, you would like to help to improve, and you would like to give us feedback. You are not afraid of saying that what we do is not so good, and we work together. If that's you, it's fine if you have the experience from before, but you don't have to have it. So if some of you are interested, just talk to me after the lecture, and I can record names, and then we can have a good group. As I said, Dipti and I have learned quite a lot from the previous reference groups, and I think we will definitely work better as a team as well. And I have to say already, a lot of thanks to all of you who have spotted problems in the assignment and on Blackboard and the material. So keep doing that. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and I make a lot of them. So if you tell me, then I can fix them quickly, and then hopefully we're not going to have so much problems. Which means that if you have downloaded the assignment one, it might be a good idea to download a new one, because there have been some fixes, some small ones, but the sum of the small fixes end up being quite a big thing. And the last change I did was that I have included the names, the Bitbucket usernames of the TAs that you need to include when you submit, so that the TAs have access, or you give them access to your repo, so they can actually look at your code to see if it's good or not. Any questions about the first assignment? As I was hinting at the very beginning here, just keep in mind that we haven't covered any yet of what you're supposed to go through in the assignment. So if you feel that this is a lot of things that you don't know anything about, you're right. We haven't started talking about it. But I suggest still that you start early and you work through, and then you work through the assignments, and hopefully the first part of the assignment will give you introduction to technologies, and we'll talk more about them here in the lectures, and eventually it's going to add up to something that is going to be a good experience that will give you some hands-on experience with the technologies, and also something that we can reflect on. Okay, let's see where we were. We talked about the database approach. We have, rather than all the applications directly getting data from the files, we have a database management systems or a management system here. And the important thing, if there were three things to remember, one important thing is that we don't directly access data. So we don't have to worry about how data is stored on the file system. We don't have to worry about whether there are multiple users accessing the file system. We don't have to worry about security, because it's all taken care of by the database system. We only have to worry about the data. What data do we need, and how do we present it? And what can we look for over here? So that's one. The other thing to remember is this small one here, and I have to say I added that. So this figure is from the textbook, but in the textbook it just shows database, and I put up here data, which is the database data. In the assignment case, this will be all the books with all the authors and descriptions. That is your database. It has only one table, so it's also exciting, but at least it has data about books. And the metadatabase, the dictionary, data dictionary or system catalog. That's where the database management system keep tracks of what are the users, what are the databases we have here, what are the tables, what are the data types of the various columns, all of these things. And it keeps a lot of statistics. What is the most used data? How big are the tables? So that it can have a good performance. So when you ask for an operation here, the database management system keeps statistics, knowing what's the best way, what's the most efficient way to answer the query. By the way, we can do that right away. If we go to... here's the other. If you go to the phpMyAdmin, you can see these are my databases. I have an assignment one, I have a test database. phpMyAdmin has its own database. It has some tables that it's using. The one called Information Schema, that is MySQL's own database. It's actually not the real database. It's a view. We're going to talk about the views, or actually Dipti is going to talk about what the view is. But this is the user view of the system database, which means that the database may have more in there that we don't see, and we may not be able to modify because it's the database that will modify it, but at least we can see system database system data. We can directly see. So we can find here columns. What are the various attributes in all of the tables? We can get that. We can query for it. And we can, if you start by going through, so these are quite a number of the databases. You go through tables. We can query database. Say, what are the tables in this database? And now if I modify and I go through 500, I can see all of them in one page. Here, as I said, in a relational database, everything is a table. So in this case, everything MySQL needs to know about user tables, tables in the database, is here. So you can find this is a table catalog, is def. The table schema, which is my database, is assignment one. And I can find what is the name of the table and what is the type of table. So if I go over here, what's the type of table? What is the row format? How many rows do I have? What's the average length of each row? Lots of statistics, lots of data that the database keeps for its own purpose. but we can access it. So if I get to see a database, I don't know anything about it, I can go to the dictionary. I can find what are it if I have access to it, because the database keeps restricting who can access. But if I have access, I can get to know what are the tables, what are the in the database space, what are the columns, what is the data type. So if we go to these columns, then it will list all the columns in all the tables. You can see that in assignment one we have a table book, it has a column ID, position one, it has a title as an author, it has no default values. And without this, without the dictionary, PHP MyAdmin couldn't have been made, because it shows all the tables, it shows all the rows, but it couldn't know what are the tables and the columns names without having a database of the database data. Question. PHP MyAdmin, we're going to talk about this later on, what are all these things. MySQL or MariaDB is a database, that's a DBMS. PHP MyAdmin is an application that is accessing the dictionary and the databases to get to view data. So PHP MyAdmin is just an administrative tool that somebody developed in PHP that's just using the MySQL or MariaDB to get the data and to get the catalog data. So that's how, so in PHP MyAdmin, when I see this list over here, which are all the databases, PHP MyAdmin is a PHP program that goes to MySQL and say, what are the tables? And now it gets all the tables. If I go here to the to database server and look at what are the users, it will go to the users table in the database. Say, okay, what are the users here? I can find that the root user is here. I created a user for myself. And what is the what are the global privileges? And I can go in and edit the privileges. So it's really just an application. It's a user interface for accessing metadata or dictionary data and for accessing user data. So now, to get this table, it's accessing the dictionary to list what are all the tables. And I say, okay, all the databases. So if I go to the assignment 5, it says, okay, assignment 1. What are the tables? Now if I click on the book table, I browse. This data, is this database data or is it dictionary data? What I see in this table? This is database data. This is my database. In my database I have 4 books. Now if I click on the structure, is this database data or dictionary data? This is dictionary data. It says that there are 4 columns, 1 ID, which is the primary key. I can see from here. It's as an integer number. It has no default values, but it's an auto increment. So you saw everything that you created. Some of you have already created that for your assignment. And this is the result. In the database, there's a definition of what does this table look like. And in the database, I can find all the rows that have been created, inserted. So we have database data and we have dictionary data. And PHP MyAdmin is a tool that accesses the database through the DBMS. We'll come back to this later on next week when we talk about system diagrams. Question? PHP MyAdmin, I don't believe you can. I think it uses... We'll talk about this as well. I mean, there are number of standards. The good thing with standards is that there are so many of them, so you can choose which one you like. So it's not standardized anyway. So the problem is SQL is kind of standardized, but there are certain SQL features that are not standard, that are vendor-specific. And PHP MyAdmin was developed for MySQL, which means that it's a tool for managing MySQL database. So it wouldn't the SQL you type in would most likely also most of it will also work on another database system, but it couldn't connect to it, and it can't use some of the features that it's relying on. So it's not going to be a good tool. But you would have other tools for doing the same. And this is the challenge that we're having when we teach you these things. I mean, you learned to program in C. Now we're going to learn to program in PHP. We use for databases. We use MySQL and PHP MyAdmin. Is this our purpose on Earth, to learn you how to, or to teach you how to do PHP and C++? No, we're going to teach you how to program. But we need one programming language, which might be C++, might be PHP. So I'm here talking about, and I'm teaching PHP MyAdmin and MariaDB. But any similar tool would work. And the most important thing for me is that you get used to these tools, the tool set. And you don't need to use PHP MyAdmin. But for the teaching assistants and for myself, we require PDO as the interface to the database, because then the TAs can understand the code that you submit. But it's not important that it is MariaDB or that it's PHP MyAdmin from a user point, or from your learning point of view. But it's convenient for us to stick to the same. So PHP MyAdmin, it won't work on any other database than MariaDB. And of course, it can't run on a non-PHP web server either. So it's typically Apache and MariaDB. But any, I think it would work on any web server that has PHP, because it's written in PHP, and that is standardized across the web servers. I hope that gave a little bit of more understanding of the... I mean, this is the kind of an abstract drawing, and then we have... on our computer, have installed XAMPP and MariaDB, and now these I just want to show you how the more abstract figure links to what you are seeing on your computer. So we talked about this. We have the data and the schema. We have the hardware. So here, it has CPU, and it has a disk. It is to store data. We have software. In this case, it's Windows. Some of you run on Mac. Some of you run on Linux. Network software. We don't really need external network software here, because the web server and the browser and the MySQL is all in one. But if you use your account, the NTNU account, and use the NTNU offering for the Apache server or the web server and the database, then you would need a network to connect to the web server that you have at school. Application programs, those are the ones that we are developing. So my test scripts, PHP scripts for the assignment one, is part of the application program for very simple one for managing books or information about books. Yeah, the people and procedures, we talked about this before. The roles, we talked about database history. I'm going to come back to this. It's maybe not the most exciting part. But I'm going to come back to this probably at the very end of my 3 weeks startup. We'll talk a little bit about the history to show you some of the differences between the systems. Then we went through the two languages. I don't know if you remember that we had two languages. Since we in the database management system, we have... The distinction between the dictionary data and the database data, then it's also good to have two different sets of subsets of languages. But when we talk about SQL or SQL, it is one language that has operations that are both DML, meaning data modification manipulation language, which would modify the user data, and the DDL, data definition language, which would modify the data in the dictionary. So if I would like to create a table, I could say create table, and that's a data definition. If I like to put data into the database, I would say insert into. So in SQL, these are just instructions or commands you can give, but we classify them as some modifying the dictionary data, DDLs, and some modifying the user database data, that we call the DMLs. You're going to be mostly doing DML, you're mostly operating data, but sometimes when you create a database or you change, you modify a database, that's when you use the DDL. So that's a more rare case where you need to modify the database, the structure of it, not just the content, then you use the DDLs. Yeah, we looked at the system catalog. And again, we talked about this on Wednesday, but it was the very end of the lecture, so it was a bit rushed. So let's take a step through it again. The database management system, in our case, MySQL or the MariaDB, has a number of services. The services for controlling data access will be a security system. So how many of you has set the user password for root user when you set up XAMPP? Because it will give a warning if you don't set the password. And it's always a good idea to set the password. We're going to talk about security, database and web application security later on in the course. But for now, it's convenient to keep the root user with no passwords. If you remember, here, and if you go to the user accounts, if you look here, privileges, this is looking a bit into the future, but if you look at the privileges, you could see that root user has all privileges. So if someone gets your database root user password, they can do everything. They can delete your database, they can stop your server, they can insert invalid data, they can do anything. So giving users possibilities to access as root is a bad idea because it has all the privileges. So I created here a user on my system, and when I make the any example programs, I will also always be this one, and I would this user, and I will give this user only those privileges it needs. I mean, it would just be able to read from some tables, insert it in some tables, to make sure that if someone is able to hack into my system as me, they can't do much damage. Here, if they can hack into the system with root privileges, they can delete and destroy everything, and they can insert lots of crap in your database, and you have no idea to figure out what was all done. So try to not. At least root should have a password. Secondly, try to create a different user and log in as that user rather than the root. Question? As far as I know, PHP MyAdmin wouldn't have that. And it wouldn't help either, because you will have many instances accessing the database. You can access the database without going through PHP MyAdmin. So it will have to be the database that will have that kind of logging feature. So it had to be in the MariaDB itself. So the question whether you can actually log it will be possible, and you could one way to do that is that you could write stored procedures. Dipti is going to talk about stored procedures. You could write stored procedures in the database, so whenever the database is modified, that you would write data into a log that would go somewhere. So and there will always be a database log. We'll talk about it. There will always be a database log that will be used for internal purposes. That can be used, but it would be hard to really say what were the users and trace that back. So we'll talk about the database logs, which are mainly for recovery purposes. We'll talk about those logs in the very. In PHP MyAdmin, there is no simple way to know who's been in the database and log that. You need many more layers of functionality for implementing that. Another question? not sure if I fully understand your question. So what they're saying here, and that's something to look at as well. What they're saying here is that user root has three different access privileges, possibly. In one case, it's password protected. Two other cases, it's not. Depending on which way into this, you may or may not need the password. So if I go through localhost, then I don't have to use the password here. If I go through the 127.0.0.1, I will have. So obviously, I should have set password protection on all of this. It shouldn't matter which way I came into it. What you can do here in the host name is that you can allow that your database will have access from other places. In this case, you will only access from localhost, which means that the web server needs to be on the same machine. If you like another web server to connect, you could say that root could be available for other as well. But what we're saying here is that only applications on my machine can log in as root. And if I go through 127.0.0.1, it will have to have a password. If it do localhost, it doesn't have. So it's not a very nice scheme, this. It should be the same password in all those cases, because it shouldn't depend on how we access it. But the important thing here is that there are only local hosts, which means that the web server, in my case, will have to run this machine. This machine will not allow anyone to log into my database without being local, a local application. Question? Usually, in this case, it's the admin database admin user is called the root user here. But on your system, you will have a root user as well. You will have a Unix or Mac root user, and that will be a different user. So this one is a database user, but this is a database root user. So I mean, okay, we'll talk about the security later on. I think this is. But what I suggest, the reason why I address it here, is that what I suggest is that you do set the password on the root user, so you don't keep that blank. And secondly, if you would like to go through the hassle, try to create another user. That is always so when you create a web application, you don't log in as root, you log in as a web app user, and it has restricted privileges. And again, we'll talk about this later on when we talk about security and privileges. But it has the security system, integrity system. We talked about briefly on Wednesday that your data quality is important. And if you have, I don't know how many of you who will click on a web link and you get 404, page not found. Okay, because the link links to a page that has disappeared. You don't want that to happen in a database. You don't want to have a reference in a database to some, let's say I have a database consisting of information about courses and then about professors who teach these courses. Okay, now if I delete information about the professor, it will be a bad thing if one course still pointed to the professor as the teacher, because then it says, okay, this is the teacher, but you don't know anything about the teacher. So in the database system, you have integrity systems that make sure, for instance, that if you have a reference to some other entity, you can't delete the other entity without the reference also being deleted. Or if you have a unique ID, the database will ensure that there will be only one row with that unique ID. So if you have a book ID, the database is, if you try to insert a new book with the same ID as another book, it would fail. Say, okay, there's an integrity violation. There's already a book with that primary key. Concurrency control means that multiple users can access data at the same time without causing problem for each other. Recovery control system is that if my database crashes, it will come up again and give me the data back. And if I have backups, it could even come up from a disk crash. We'll talk very briefly about that at the very end of the course. And this is the figure that I didn't have much time to go in all details of, and we will be coming back to it. Because it's kind of it's good to have that kind of reference understanding of what's in here. So we have the three different main types of users. We have the programmers, we have the end users, and we have the database administrators. Database administrators, they create schemas, they change the database, they create a new database, they create new users, they change the access rights of a user, and that goes through the DDL compiler, because that's data definition language, and then it changes the dictionary, which is then eventually stored in the file. End users, they ask queries. The query processor, they're in the database. Getting the answer is important. Almost equally important is to get it quickly. I mean, if you were to buy something, you don't want to wait for a day to get the answer whether you got it or not. You would like the answer immediately. Okay, you got the book. The query processor is responsible for quick responses. So it will use, as I said, the data dictionary, use the statistics from the database, say, how big are the tables, what are the indexes, how can I make a good plan, and then it will use the database manager to actually get the data. As programmers, we're going to use mostly the DML. We're going to connect to the database, we're going to get data, we're going to add data, we're going to delete data, we're going to modify data. And there is some possibility for some programming code as well. We may have stored procedures, we may have triggers that have been stored in the database. So this is the integrity that I talked about. There are no references to objects that have been deleted. We have support for transactions. And we'll talk about transactions, not next week, but the week after. Transaction is a way to group a set of operations, so, and you make sure that they're all done or they're none of them are done. So when you update something, you update everything or nothing. And then concurrency control, transaction support, and recovery. Recovery means getting back after a crash. There are some utility services. I don't know if you have already noticed, but in PHP MyAdmin, there's one thing that you're gonna be learning gradually, and that is the user interface is a little bit depending on your context. So right now, you can see here, my context is I'm at the server level. At the server level, I can see user accounts, I can see export and import. Export and import here means I can export the whole database, I can import the whole data. All the databases, and I can import all the user databases. Now, if I would like to import data just from one database, I can select the database. And you see now is the context here that I have this database. And you can see that now all of a sudden users are gone. I have different tabs up here because I'm in a different context. If I do export here, I can export the content of this database. And this is a useful one for you as well. So if you are working now, and then, I mean, there are errors in my script, there's errors in your script, so you have to recreate this default database every time. So rather than doing that, so the first time you create your database, and you would like to keep it for later, so that if something crashes, you can get this one back, you just export it as an SQL file. And then you have a file called something.sql. And next time you messed up your database, you can just delete the database and you can import the database from the script again. This is a quick way for you to get a database back up where it was before. And when you do export, there, I think it is described as well in the PHP MyAdmin. When you do export, you can choose to export with or without data, and the with or without schema. So you could just go through the set there and decide where you're gonna have with data or just a schema. So if you like to just keep the dictionary data, meaning the database, what are the tables, but none of the data, you could do so. But if you would like to export the database and all the data, you can export that as well. And you can import it later on. So these are kind of the utility services that you have. Helper services. Now, we did talk about the disadvantages of file-based systems, and we talked a little bit about some of the advantages of using databases and database management systems. Some of the ones we haven't talked so much about is enforcing data standards. So it will now, when everything is centralized in one database, it is possible to define standards. Let's say you can't just add text. You can only add text that will be in a table already. So you can make a table with lots of alternative texts, alternatives, and we can now make sure that only these texts can be selected for a certain field. Economy of scale means that if I start building up a database here, and then it grows and grows and grows, then MariaDB would grow with me. So at some point, I may need a distributed system, and then I go for MariaDB distributed version. So I don't have to rewrite all the file handling functions as the database grows. It will grow with my needs. Balance of conflicting requirements. That's a bit tricky one, because a database is shared, which means that, as we saw from the example, the sales department, the contract department, maybe the technical support department, various departments going to have the same database. Now, they may have different requirements, and you need to balance them. And the advantage is that you have one system that would serve all departments, rather than having a system that is very good for one department but is not useful for the other departments. Data accessibility, because you're not relying on that file on that one server or on somebody's computer. So if I keep my files local here, then if somebody else needs access to my files, they need to get to my server. Or if it's in the shared server, we rely on that they have access to the server. Now with the database, if the database is up on the network, as long as you can access the network, you can access the database and data will be available. Increase productivity, because as a programmer, you don't have to reprogram all the data access functions. They're already there. You just access the database. And the database management system developers would have to develop all the software for actually reading and writing data to the file system. Maintenance, because there is less to maintain, less code to maintain, it's easier to maintain. Disadvantages. Are there any disadvantages? Or we just have advantages? Anyone having any disadvantages in mind? Yeah, so the answer is that there are some challenges when it comes to indexing, operation in general, because if you need to do something, if you need to reorganize the data, you need to recreate all the indexes, you may need to stop the database for a complete backup, you stop the database. And when you stop the database, no one has access. And if it takes a lot of time, as it may do, then you won't get it. When I was working in the United States before I came here, we had a crash on the database of the mailing system. So for half a day, none of us had access to mail because rebuilding the database with all the indexes took so much time. So there is a cost if the company can't access, and anyone in the company can't access email for half a day. That's quite a lot of cost. If everybody had their own file system, if one disk crashed, the others could still read their emails. There was a question over here. Other questions or other comments or other input to what? Not necessarily. There may not be alternatives, but what we need to be aware of are some of these disadvantages. We need to have mechanisms to deal with them. So that's the purpose. I mean, there's nothing that comes for free. There's no ideal. There's no perfect solution to anything. So there are advantages, disadvantages, their strengths, and their weaknesses. So these are, what I would say is that if you look through the list, these disadvantages are smaller than what you will have for the alternatives. Question or comment or input? Yeah. It's a single point of failure. Exactly. So if you set it up very badly, like if you have root access in a database user and somebody breaks in through that, they will have access to all your data. So because of that, they usually, when you have a database system, you will have multiple systems, some with really critical data and some with less critical data. And at least you will have different database users. Complexity. I mean, this is much more complex system. If you have a tiny, or if you have a game that needs to log user access or user operations, you could use a database, but it's going to be a rather big system and it's going to be rather complex. So if your application, if your need is to store a log of user operations, database may not be the answer. The DBMS itself will cost money again. If you have something small, if you have your needs are so that it's just one user, it's time critical, you can deal with the backup yourself, then the cost of buying the DBMS, maybe you need some extra hardware because you need more disk space, you need more powerful CPUs, and there is probably a cost of converting data. Performance. Performance is good for some operations, but not for other operations. If you just want to write what happens and you don't worry so much about general querying, then it's much more, you can find speedier ways, more efficient ways to implement this. And there is a greater impact on failure. Okay, I think we'll stop there. There is one question. There's one, if you just sit down, there's one